Father, as always, again, we ask that you shine the light from your word into our hearts to give revelation, knowledge, and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Overcoming by the word of your testimony. I want you to pay close attention because, you know, God's going to tell us some things here about how to use your testimony. So, let me start by reading the first scripture out of Revelation 12, 11, which most of us know. You know, talking about, you know, how you can get the victory over the devil by a few different things. One was the way he put it. He said, look, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That's why people always say the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. You know, they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. The second part that people forget is by the word of their testimony. The word of your testimony has just as much power, if you know how to do it, as when you, you know, invoke the blood of Jesus. We're always invoking, when we pray, we always invoke the blood of Jesus. And if I pray now, I say blood of Jesus, everybody will say blood of Jesus, especially Pentecostals. Blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Well, you can use the word of your testimony same way, you know. And of course, the third part is they overcame him by not even caring, you know. They loved not their lives unto the dead. They didn't care, you know, save their own lives. Just like Jesus said, if any man will save his life, he will lose it eventually. But if he loses it for my sake, he'll going to gain it and more, you know. So, but I want to focus on the word of using the word of your testimony to get victory. Now, many people think of, you know, if I were to go around the room, in fact, as a matter of fact, you know, let's do a little exercise. Post in the chat room, if you would, please, what testimony is. Let's do it. Just post, you know, what do you think testimony is? Just once, I don't want a long, you know, thing. Just one or two short words, what you think testimony is. Maybe three words at the most. Just post it in the chat room, what you think testimony is. In this context that we're talking about here. All right. So, please do that. And then while you're doing that, let me continue on the lesson. Now, testimony, if you look it up in the dictionary, has many meanings. In the Bible, it also has many meanings. As a matter of fact, the book of the law is also called testimony. You know, and every time the Lord speaks against the people, it's called testimony. The Lord will say, I'll testify against you. And, you know, so the book of the law on the one hand, the testimony say, look, you know, when they bring the king into his role, you know, the prophet generally would anoint him with oil and hand him the testimony, which is the law or the Torah back then, you know. So, today let me give you some scriptures and let me tell you what I want to talk about, really. Most of the time, the way we use our testimony today, and I don't have people put a lot of things, you know, one or two people posted. Okay, but never mind. By the end of this, you will know what testimony really is. The way we currently use our testimony, most people, is, you know, when God has done something marvelous for us, you know, then we come out and then we give testimony. And that's great. That's one great way to use it. But that implies, what that actually implies, if you think about it, what it implies is we got to wait till the end, you know, when you have already gotten the victory over the thing, and then you come and testify about it. So that's what it implies. If the only time we give testimony is after the Lord's already done it, we already got the victory, and then you come and, you know, in the great congregation, you give your testimony, which is great. That's the way most people do it, you know. But what that really implies is you already got the victory. And now you're coming to share the praise to the Lord, which is a great thing. However, that's not what Revelation 12:11 is talking about. Revelation 12:11 is saying, it is your very word of your testimony that gave you the victory in the first place. It's not that you got the victory is already finished. Then you come and testify, you know, which is what we do. And that's a great thing. You know, so I wanted to bring this lesson today because, you know, the declaration room yesterday, and I said, you're going to testify, you know, and I don't want people to think that you got to wait until after you get the victory before you testify. Actually, the word of your testimony is part of your tool for getting your victory. Now, Amos chapter 3, I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Let's go through this very quickly. I want to give a short lesson and I'm going to allow people to testify. You know, Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Like I said, you yourself, you can look up the word testimony or testify in the dictionary. Sometimes, you know, they use it in reference to the court of law. When someone comes in to give a testimony, it can be written, it can be verbal. Most of the time it's verbal. When they call a witness to stage, you say, well, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, not but the truth and all that, you know, and so help you God. And they say, yeah. And then they begin to say, and they say, well, is it your testimony? That's such and such and such. And then they testify, you know. So testifying in front of people of what they know, you know, about whatever it is they're asking them, you know. And, you know, sometimes they even bring what they call an expert witness. You know, if there's a case about some medical issue or whatever, or some malpractice or something, you know, then they can bring somebody in. And if somebody bring a witness in that is not, you know, an expert witness and is trying to say things, you know, along as they say, you know, they'll tell you that, look, no, you know, the witness is not an expert in this area. And so the opposing counsel will say that and they dismiss. They ask the judge to discountenance what they said, you know. And sometimes, you know, when the opposing counsel is trying to grill the witness that's on stage, you know, the other counsel may say, Your Honor, objection. Counsel is testifying, you know. So, because if the counsel is supposed to ask a question, not be making statements. So when the counsel is making a lot of statements and trying to put words in the mouth of the witness, the other counsel on the other side, they're smart. They stand up and raise an objection. Objection, Your Honor. Counsel is testifying. He can't testify. The testifying is for the witness, you know. And so the judge may say sustained or may say overruled, you know, whatever. And then move on, you know. So you can see the person that's on the stand, the one that is supposed to give you a testimony. And so you have a cloud of witnesses and you can declare stuff. So I'm going to give you scriptures of what testimony means according to the Bible. There's tons of scriptures, but I only picked a few because I don't want this lesson to be too long, you know, but you begin to get the idea so that we can begin to shape your victory by your testimony and not wait until you get the victory to give the testimony, you know. So, all right, here's what it says. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts. You know, so testify, it means declare it. Declare, that's what it means. I'm going to tell you a few scriptures that also, you know, show testify as declare, testify as giving witness, you know, testify as affirming, and so on and so forth. You know, so we're just going to call out, you know, some of these scriptures. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 46. You know, these are scriptures that tell you testifying or that, you know, show that testifying it means for you to declare. You know, here we see that Moses put a lot of things, you know, before the people, you know, and he said, look, Moses said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, in which you shall also command to your children to observe and to do all the words of this law. So, in this case, testify means declare. All the words that I declare, you know, Moses is not waiting for something to happen before he's saying it. He's actually saying it for them in order for them to make it happen. And so we can see, you know, that's another use of testify is to declare. There's a few other places where the, you know, the scripture talks about that as a declare. Paul, when he was talking to the book of Galatians, I'm just picking out a few here. When he was talking to Galatians in the book of Galatians, that's what I meant to say, you know, talking to them, you know, trying to teach them about not being carried away with, you know, the requirement for circumcision and all of that. Here's what he said to them in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. What is he saying here? You know, testify here is I declare unto you. You know, so testify is to declare. Declare something. You know, declare something is really what testify means. You know, state your position. Declare something. Now, so the let's keep going here. So we've seen how it means to testify. What about how the scripture uses testify to mean affirm? You know, now this one is so important for what we are trying to do today. Using your testimony to affirm something. You know, so let's look at that. You know, he said, look, Paul said to the book, in the book of Ephesians, to the folks who are in Ephesians, Ephesus, he said this, Ephesians 4 and 17. Remember, he was just talking about the whole body, you know, making increase in itself. And we talked about this yesterday. The increase, we're in the phase of increase. So if you read it from Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16, you know, we're in the phase of increase. You know, the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. So yesterday I explained that we are now in the increase phase, both in the ministry and even in your personal life. Now, and then right after that, he says, this I say, therefore, since you are in the increase stage or phase, you know, and testify in the Lord. That's right. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles and in the vanity of your mind. So in this case, he's using testify to say, look, I'm affirming this in the Lord, that what I've told you is also correct. You know, that look, you don't need to do these things this way. In this case, he's using it to mean affirm. What about using it to mean give witness? Now, the one I described in the court of law, that's how they do it. They give witness. Actually, they call a witness. They call your next witness, and they call the witness, and come up to the stand, and so forth. You know, so let's look at how the scripture uses testimony to mean giving witness. Now, there's dozens of things about this one, but I'll just pick out a few. John chapter 3 and verse 11. John chapter 3, verse 11. Now, this lesson is important because we need to get our mindset right. And there's a lot of things we do sometimes which we don't do right, and we don't get the full effect of it. This is something that we have not been doing right. We have not been using our testimony right. And so this lesson is coming to correct that. You know, so now, verily, you know, verily I say unto you, this is, Jesus, this was the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, you know. Now, verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify what we have seen and you receive not our witness. So in this place, Jesus is saying, you know, our testimony is to give witness. You know, when we testify of things which we have seen, but you receive not our witness. So right here, again, testimony is being used as meaning or giving reference to giving witness about a subject, a situation, or something. So giving witness. John chapter 5, and let's take a look at verse 39. Jesus himself here is encouraging people, and this is going to go directly in line with today's lesson, encouraging people to search the scriptures. As he said, look, search the scriptures, John 5:39. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You know, so the scriptures carry a powerful testimony from top to bottom of the scriptures, from cover to cover, from start to finish. The scriptures testify of Christ. You know, which is why when I teach on my subject of faith specs, I always say, start from the scriptures. That's the beginning of your victory and your testimony right there. Always start from the scriptures. Because the scriptures are they which testify of Christ. Again, that means they give witness to Christ. Here's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, which, thank God, has now been given and we now have. Here's what he says in John chapter 15, you know, and verse 25. He said, look, the Comforter, when he is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. You know, so that's a way to give testimony. Testify. Now, throughout the book of the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, people gave testimony and they call it witness. Too many scriptures, I'm not going to go into that, of his resurrection and so forth, you know, and they always started by, powerful scriptures they would give, and they would give a powerful story, try to make, because they were talking to mostly the Jews, you know, so try to link them up, you know, with, all the things that happened from the lineage, from their lineage in the days of Abraham and so forth. Story of powerful testimony that, Stephen gave in Acts chapter 6, you know, and also chapter 7. He began to give testimony about, you know, Christ and using powerful scriptures, you know, to convince them that this Christ came from the lineage of Abraham and so forth. You know, he lost his life for it, but that was his testimony about the Christ and so on and so forth. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, Peter also stood up and testified concerning the things. He said, look, these men are not drunk as you suppose, you know, but this is what you're seeing here is what Joel prophesied, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit against all flesh. You know, now in both of those cases, after they heard the testimony of Stephen and of Peter, in the case of Peter, the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts. So they say, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them what they needed to do. Well, in the case of Stephen, they were also pricked in their hearts, but they decided to, you know, jump upon him and try to kill him, you know, because the Bible says that after they heard his testimony, you know, this thing pricked them in their hearts. They gnashed upon him with their, you know, teeth, you know, and so forth, because his testimony was like a spear, you know, into their hearts, you know, because he also told them, you know, that they were the ones that crucified the Lord and so forth, you know. Now, so there's many ways that they use their testimony. Here's a few things I want to, talk to you about. In the book of Psalms. And the psalmist was one person that knew how to always talk about this, you know, how that he would testify, you know, in the great congregation, you know, and those are the ones where that actually misled us into thinking that, oh yeah, testimony means after God's done great things, you know, because the psalmist would say things like, I would testify of thy great goodness and of this and that, you know, so it gives us the impression that you wait until after the thing is done, and then you come and tell everybody what the Lord, what great things the Lord did for you, which is also testimony. I mean, that's, you know, that's also actually a great, you know, great way to give glory to God through your testimony, you know, but there is more than that. So let's read a few scriptures here in the book of Psalms. Let's read Psalm 81, verse 8, and begin to see some of the things, how the psalmist himself used this. In this particular place, he's saying, quoting the words of God, similar to what God said in Amos 3 and so forth. You know, say, look, I will testify unto thee, O Israel. Hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Let there be no strange God in thee. So his testimony here is actually more of preaching. You know, I will testify unto thee and so forth, you know, and begin to use testimony that way. You know, what about, you know, Psalm 35? This is the one that, you know, most people like to do. Let's look at Psalm 35 and verse 18. Psalm 35 and verse 18 says, you know, I will give thanks in the great congregation, and I will praise thee among much people. Now, even though the word of the word testify is not here, this is the way that most of us think of testimony. Come to the congregation and give thanks for what God has done, which is a good thing. You know, nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, you know, we're encouraged to be thankful, to be always thankful. And so this is the way that we generally do it. You know, we come into the fellowship, you come into a platform line such as this, after that the Lord has done you a great thing, you know, and then you give testimony, you know. But I want to focus on using the word of your testimony as a declaration, more than just as a thanksgiving of something God already did, which is good, and we already know how to do that. We're experts in doing that. But I want us to train ourselves to begin to use a word of our testimony as a declaration. A declaration, not just a thanksgiving report or praise report. This is how we give testimony, is praise report of what God has done, which is good. Now, Isaiah 43 and verse 26 says, let us plead together. Declare thou, that's testimony, that thou mightest be justified. Put forth, you know, your strong cause. You know, that's how we, you know, we testify. You say, you know, what you believe. And the Lord even said, look, declare it so that you may be justified. You know, so that's the way that I want you to use your testimony today. Don't wait until the thing is done. Come out and declare it in order for the thing to be done. This is what I'm saying. You know, this is another way to view testimony. Sometimes we wait, and sometimes we say, well, I gotta wait, and then I'll give my testimony. You know, no. Declare your testimony ahead of time. Because the testimony is what gives you the victory. They overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. Not that, you know, they use the word of their testimony to give thanks to for what victory they got, which is good. But they can actually use the word of their testimony to overcome the devil. Now, before I close this short exhortation, I'm going to give you a few examples, you know, of how that should work. But let's consider this thing here that Paul said in Romans chapter 10 quickly, you know, when he was talking about, you know, how do we use the word of faith. And he talked about, look, the thing is this. He said, who shall ascend? Well, let me start from verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart. It's Romans 10 and verse 6. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the... Now, he's saying, don't say this in your heart. You know, who's going to go into the deep, bring Christ up? Because he's no longer there. He said, look, Christ, you don't need to go to heaven. You don't need to look for him in the grave. He's not there. But where is your victory at? You know, say, the word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Remember, Jesus said, out of the heart proceeded these things. You know, so it comes from the heart. You know, the word of faith, which we preach, that's how you overcome. That's how you, you know, with your testimony. And here it is. If you confess, now that's testimony. If you give witness, if you declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Why? What are you confessing in that case? You are confessing his lordship. You know, when you confess that he is Lord, you know, and you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, so you'll be saved. You know, so confession here is say, look, the mouth, in the heart we believe unto righteousness, but you got to testify with your mouth unto your salvation. You know, this is, you know, so this is what he's talking about here. Now, it's in the same context, and I'm asking us to do your testimony today. Let me give you quickly a couple more scriptures. Psalm 145 verse 7. This is something that we all know to do, but how do we do it is the question. Psalm 147, 145 and verse 7. I love this psalm from top to bottom. I'm not going to read all of it today. So it says, look, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. That's it. When you are uttering his, let me start a little bit because I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll start from verse 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. That's testifying. That's declaring. And of thy wondrous works. You know, and he said, look, men shall declare their terribleness and all of this. Abundantly utter the memory of your great goodness. Sing of your righteousness. The Lord is good to all. And all these things that he says, all thy works shall praise thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy thing. You know, all of these things, every time you do this, every time you declare his goodness, every time you come, like you say, every day will I bless thee and do all these things. Every time you do this, you are actually giving testimony. You know, so next time somebody calls for testimony, maybe you're at your church service and say, hey, does anybody have a testimony? Don't be scratching your head to think of, oh, what is it that the Lord just did for me that I can say? No. Testify. Speak of the beauty of his glory. Speak of the greatness. And you can even use it, you know, to, you know, what you are believing God for, can use that as your testimony. All right. Let's give you a quick example of testimony. A couple of quick examples of how they did that. My favorite on that subject, of course, Abraham. When he changed his name to Abraham. That's a testimony. You know, and he carried that testimony for 25 years. You know, and he said, look, I will be the father of nations. Don't call me Abraham anymore. And he called him Abraham, he wouldn't answer. My name is Abraham now. What's my name? Say my name. Abraham. Father of nations. Say, Father of nations. How can you be? You don't even have a child. Say, I will be Father of nations. That's testimony. You know, he was using his testimony, you know, to bring about the word. Hallelujah. Testimony. We all know that there is power in the word. We know that, you know, the tongue carries powerful things. Then use it in your testimony. I mean, everybody knows there's power in the word, life and death and so forth, in the power of the tongue. You know, centurion came to Jesus and said, speak the word only. I mean, you know, people know these lessons about the word, how you can use the word. Well, we just don't think about it like that. We think that that's only in prayer. When we're using the word of God, it's only in prayer. No, you can use the word of God in your testimony. It's declared, you know, that you may be justified. You know, that's what, you know, God said. Declare it, you know, that you may be justified. And some of the things that I've been, you know, trying to teach in this room is exactly that. For you to use your faith to cause things to happen. But when it comes to the area of testimony, remember, the heavens and the devils, they're both listening. According to Psalm 103 verse 20, the angels that excel in strength, they are listening. The Bible says, hearkening to the voice of his word. They do his commandments. They are listening. The devil is also listening. Everybody is listening when you declare it out of your mouth. So, if you can declare it, hallelujah. That's why Jesus said it, you know. That way, so declare it, don't doubt it, believe it, it will come to pass. If you can declare it with your mouth, then the angels are listening. They are ready to go into action. You know? Now, in the book of Isaiah 41, you know, and verse 21, the Lord also says something like this, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. Well, what's your strong reason? Well, faith is the evidence. You say, why are you speaking like that? Because I believe. The Bible says, because I believe, therefore I have spoken. You know, Abraham, he said, well, you know, and he just, you know, went on for 25 years declaring that he will be the Father of nations. That's how you give testimony. And of course, the end result was that indeed, he became the Father of nations. Now, the declaration of faith that I gave people, you know, a few times here in this room, months ago, I'm going to give it to you also again today. It was a memory verse at some time, and I was pleased to hear many people quoting it. You know, that shows that we are retaining the things we are learning and we are using them. So, Isaiah 50 and verse 7. I actually call this my declaration of faith. You know, and this is this man's testimony. I'm going to give you somebody else's testimony. Actually, two more quickly. But this one was a good one that I, you know, often ask people to memorize. If you've never heard me say it before, memorize Isaiah 50 and verse 7. And this is his testimony. For the Lord God will help me. He's declaring this. You know, this is, he's not saying God has helped me. He's not saying God has helped me, so let me come out and now give thanks to him. That's great. But that's not what he's saying. For the Lord God will help me. Now, that's a testimony. Therefore shall I not be confounded. That's a testimony. You know, this is the posture that he has chosen to assume. You know, therefore, I will set my face. I have set my face like a flint. I'm putting on my game face. And nothing is going to move me. Now, that's a testimony. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. That's a testimony. In fact, it's a powerful testimony. Now, it looks futuristic because he's saying the Lord will help me. So that looks like something that's yet to happen. Well, therefore, I shall not be confounded. It looks like something that is yet to happen. You know, therefore, but now, this is the posture he has taken now. Because of the things he is believing and declaring, he's taking a posture of standing fast in the faith. Last man standing. I will not be confounded. Why? Because I know that I shall not, even though that's coming, I shall not be ashamed. So he's using that to testify of even something that has not yet happened. Now let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. How did Jesus use, you know, the word of testimony to overcome? You know, I mean, many people don't think of it this way, but Jesus himself had to do these things, you know. I mean, he would say things like, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. John chapter 2, verse 19. Now, what does that mean? Well, Jesus was using the word of his testimony to gain victory over death. That's right. Well, testifying what is going to happen. Like, look, people thought they were talking about crashing down the physical building, but he was talking about himself. You know, but he said, look, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, now that's I. That tells you who Jesus really is. You know, in 3 days, I will raise it up again. Glory to God. You know, so he's using that testimony, you know, like he's saying, well, you know, the Son of Man is going, you know, to such and such a place, Jerusalem, and he'll be brought before the priest and they will put him to death. But on the third day, he shall rise again. He'll be telling them these things, you know, he was telling it ahead of time. You know, that's how you declare the thing ahead of time, or declaring his resurrection ahead of time. He had not even been killed, but he's telling the disciples and the priest, what is he talking about? He said, look, but he will be telling them. This is how he was using it to encourage himself that he's coming out of that grave. Glory to God. He knew he's going to die, but he knew he's also coming out of that grave. And he's declaring it ahead of time. You don't have to wait until it happens before you declare it and call it a testimony. You use your testimony to declare the thing that is yet to happen, and it's called a testimony. Hallelujah. Now, I hope I set the record straight on that. So when I'm asking you to testify today, which I wanted you to do at the end of yesterday, but we didn't have time, I'm not asking you to wait until you see the result of what we declared in the room yesterday. I'm telling you, come out and declare it, that thou mayest be justified. Declare it. Paul always doing things like that. You know, he would say things like, look, you know, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, no matter his situation, whether he's up and down, he said, look, I've been up, I'm okay. I've been down, I'm okay. I've been this way, I'm okay. In all things and in every way, I'm instructed of both how to be full, hungry, and so I can do all things. You know, he would just put it out there. You know, I mean, he said, look, perfected on every side, still, I keep on going. I'm like the energizer bunny. You knock me down, I get up. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I mean, this and this and this. He said, look, we keep on going. Hallelujah. You know, we keep on going. And even Paul with his own mouth, you know, he was declaring things that are yet to come. He said, look, the Lord will give me a crown of life. He's declaring it. You know, he said, look, because I fought a good fight. I'm declaring that he will give me a crown of life. That's right. Now, so every time that we declare that the Lord is coming for us, well, so that's a testimony. So for your personal things, I'm going to wrap it up now. For your personal things that we talked about yesterday, or prayed about rather, for your increase, when I call for testimony now, don't say, well, I don't have a testimony yet, so I can't say anything. Now that would be an error, which I've tried to correct by this lesson today. It is actually your testimony that's going to give you the victory. Hallelujah. So praise God. Well, I hope, you know, I've got some few more scriptures here, but I'm going to leave it like that because I do want to allow more time for people to come up and give their testimony. Now, so I hope you now have, you know, like I said at the beginning, by the end of this lesson, I asked people to post test what the testimony meant to them. And just one or two or few people posted. And I said, well, by the end of this lesson, you should know what testimony is. You know, so now I hope you can post what testimony means to you. So post something there. What is testimony? What does it mean to you? And I'm telling you today that your testimony does not only have to be after the fact, which is the way most people have been using testimony, you know, after the fact. Well, that's your Thanksgiving. That's okay. That still continues, you know, but your testimony is actually before and during and after, you know, so it's not just after, before the thing you testify like Isaiah, that I know I will not be confounded. I know the Lord will help me, you know, during the thing you testified while you're going through it, you know, like the three Hebrew boys, you know, our God is able to save us and he will save us. And you testify, you declare, that's your testimony. That's how the angels are listening and they come into action for you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson, men and brethren, for today. Overcoming by the word of your testimony. Not just testifying about the victories that the Lord already gave you. That's only the one fragment of that. And that's all we have been doing mostly, most people. Just wait until the thing that we testify. But from now on, we use the word of our testimony to gain the victory. Hallelujah. Because thou art ensnared by the words of your mouth. You are ensnared when you say it. Huh? If you understand how to use that, it's not only negative things that you're ensnared by. It's also positive things. Can be also be ensnared by positive things. So when you say the positive side, it will also work. That's Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. You know, you are snared by the words of your mouth. So if you, anytime you want to give testimony, if you think of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2, say, well, I'm going to be taken by my words, you know, and I'm going to say you are taken by the words of your mouth. You know, I want people to learn that verse as well. Proverbs 6 and verse 2, learn it. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Well, learn how to use the words of your mouth to bring things to pass in your so-called testimony. Hallelujah. You know, and, you know, this will be a great improvement for us. You know, if we know how to do that. And you've heard me say many, many times this, you know, this lesson that we've called out multiple times, you know, in the book of Numbers, chapter 24 and verse 28, we called it multiple times. He said, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Well, in that case, it was negative, but it doesn't have to be negative. It can be positive. So, use your testimony to bring to pass your victory. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today's lesson. And I pray that the word truly brought, you know, a light, you know, shed light into our hearts and brought understanding. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory, you know, as people now give the word of their testimony to shape and to craft their victory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.